I'd like to read three passages of scripture. First in the Psalms, the book of the Psalms, Psalm 77. To the chief musician on Jeduthun of Asaph a psalm. My voice is unto God, and I will cry. My voice is unto God, and he will give ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night and slacked not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God, and I moaned. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Verse 13, O God, thy way is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as God? And verse 19, thy way is in the sea, and thy paths are in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. And then in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, and chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse 13. But we do not wish you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are fallen asleep, to the end that ye be not grieved, even as also the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus has died and has risen again, so also God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For this we say to you in the word of the Lord, that we, the living, who remain to the coming of the Lord, are in no way to anticipate those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with an assembling shout, with archangel's voice and with trump of God, shall descend from heaven. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, the living, who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be always with the Lord. So encourage one another with these words. And then in the epistle to the Romans, in chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. For none of us lives to himself, and none dies to himself. For both, if we should live, it is to the Lord we live. And if we should die, it is to the Lord we die. Both, if we should live then, and if we should die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ has died and lived again, that he might rule over both dead and living. I'm sure the question has been on the hearts, particularly of Phil and Hazel, why? Why was this allowed to happen? And we share with them today their grief and their pain and their sorrow. But we do not understand God's ways. The psalm that I've read is of a psalmist who was in anguish of soul. And yet I notice it is to the chief musician. So it was a song. He cried unto his God in his anguish. And I'm sure there has been much crying to God in anguish at this present time. But what the psalmist comes to know, he said, O God, thy way is in the sanctuary, who is so great a God as God. There are things that we do not understand. There's things about life we do not understand, but we know the one who has the answers. When we come to verse 19, thy way is in the sea, and thy paths are in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Why God has acted in this way, we do not know, but what we do know is it is for the blessing of all, especially the family and for the company locally. But we know that God's ways are beyond us, and we just have to bow and accept them at the present time. But when we come to Thessalonians, it says we do not grieve as the rest, those who have no hope. We have hope. Phil and Hazel, family, we have hope. Clara had a hope. As we said, in her condition, there's not much that she could express. But one thing she could express was a love for the Lord and a love for those that meet with us in Worthing. This scripture in Thessalonians is often read at an occasion like this. But the apostle, he didn't want these Thessalonians to be ignorant about those that had died before the coming of the Lord. We have said, Clara has gone on before. We are the living who remain to the coming of the Lord. Are we ready to meet the Lord? As we said, Clara is with the Lord. Yes, she's fallen asleep in Jesus. But we do not grieve as the rest who have no hope. We have pain, we have grief, we have sorrow, but we have hope. And that's a wonderful thing as believers and Christians to lay hold of at the present time. We have hope in another man who's in another place, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who's come into this world. He went into death and he's come out again and he's risen and ascended at God's right hand. This is the truth, dear hearer. I trust that we all accept it, that the Lord Jesus is the one who's overcome. He's broken the power of death. We feel the pain of death. But it says in 1 Corinthians, the last enemy that will be annulled is death. And the Lord is the one, the Lord Jesus is the one who has done it. I trust that everyone here knows the Lord Jesus personally as their own Saviour and Lord. To know a man who's on the other side of death, to know one who's been to Calvary's cross, who went there and suffered and died, who bore his sins in our body on the tree. There's hope for everyone here if they put their faith and trust in Jesus. And I trust that each of us will consider this today. We're in the presence of death. How solemn it is. What can we say to it? The greatest enemy and power. As Job tells us, it's the king of terrors. But we know the one who's overcome the power of death. He's invaded the tomb and he's come out and he's risen and victorious. He's my saviour. He's Helen Hazel's and the family's their saviour. He's Clara's saviour. He can be your saviour today if you'll simply put your faith and trust in him. And so he goes on to say about the coming of the Lord. We are waiting that moment when the Lord will call us to be with himself. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we the living who remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Yes, we're all going to go up together. There's a real living hope. Trust we have it in our hearts. What power is with the Lord? It says here the an assembling shout, archangel's voice, and with trump of God. He's going to call all those who love him, all those that have put their faith and trust in him, to be with himself. So I finally read in that chapter in Romans, because this is the portion of the believer, Christian believer. We don't live to ourselves, we live to Christ. None of us lives to himself and none dies to himself. For both if we should live, it is to the Lord we live. And if we should die, it is to the Lord we die. Is that how we view our lives here at the present time? Are we living here to the Lord? And if we die, do we realize that we will die to the Lord? If we should live, then if we should die, we are the Lord's. What a comfort that is to our souls. Whatever happens in our lives, whatever sorrows come upon us, whatever problems, we are the Lord's. He makes no mistakes. He makes no mistakes in lives and in the lives of us here. We've thought of Clara. We think of all that she went through in her body and the afflictions that she had. And yet she is the Lord's. And that is really precious to our hearts at the present time. He's put in his claim for her. He's taken her to be with himself. And now she's at everlasting peace and rest in his presence. And so it says that for this end, Christ has died and lived again that he might rule over dead and living. What power belongs to the Lord Jesus? As I say, he's invaded the tomb. He's come out again. He's broken the power of death. He's broken Satan's power. He's now ascended on high, waiting to call all those to be with himself. And then again, he's going to come and reign on this earth. Wonderful fact. We need to lay hold of these things in our souls at the present time. And may we draw comfort from these scriptures for his name's sake. Amen.